American Journal. We've got Christmas music playing here, Christmas themed. As we count down the days till Christmas, how many days do we have left, guys? Someone's got a count. It's going back there somewhere, some way. How many? Six. 6 days until Christmas. So we got that going for us. Welcome back to the show. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. Time really flies when you're having fun. I don't know if you guys saw this. President Trump taking some time aside to reclassify marijuana. Trump signed an executive order yesterday, which shifts cannabis from schedule. I don't even know what that, what's the rumor? I don't even know what that means.
So interestingly enough, yesterday Trump signed an executive order, which shifts cannabis from schedule one to schedule three, which does a lot of things, right? A lot of people who are advocates and people who are against marijuana, they lack the research, right, for their claims. And so because it was a Schedule I drug, no one was willing to put money forth to do research on marijuana. It was extremely prohibitive. So it still needs to be finalized by the DEA. But it's interesting because this does a lot for people who've been convicted of crimes, you know, possessing marijuana. So outside of people, you know, using it, it's got other downstream effects, I think.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't know how I feel about this, though. I have to say, you know, we're in the middle of a drug war, however you want to phrase it. Obviously, it's more focused on fentanyl. Between the United States, Venezuela, and every other country in the region. And so I don't know. Not really a fan of this one. But President Trump obviously making this a priority. I was watching on X yesterday, there was a joke that was circulating around that saying that President Trump is the blackest president we've ever had, mainly because of that move yesterday. He's also has pardoned several rappers, and he's got three babies' mamas. So that one just dropping yesterday. All right, we got a lot more we got our eyes on, folks. Drew Hernandez joining the show in just a little bit. As I've detailed for you, we gave you the update regarding the Brown University shooter. Obviously, they're saying now it has ties to and was the one behind the MIT professor being killed. Chrissy Noem, though, after the shooting, apparently she immediately responded by saying that Immigration Services is going to pause the DV-1 program to ensure that no more Americans are harmed by this program itself. Now, it's interesting to talk about this one because, again, this is a non-U.S. citizen who made his way into the United States. Apparently, this is happening back in 2017. They refer to it as a diversity lottery immigrants visa program. Doesn't really feel like a lottery, though. Many of you guys know President Trump put an end to this. Fought to end it back in 2017. I don't know. It's just a train wreck, guys. I don't know how else to describe this stuff. We're getting to the point where the logical theory here is just to stop immigration altogether. Drew Hernandez will join us, though, in a little bit to discuss that. Plus, when you go through all the fraud that we've recently uncovered from all of these migrants, illegal aliens, however you want to phrase it, there's billions and billions of dollars. But most recently, we were uncovering a lot more in regards to that Haitians now being caught up into this. Apparently, there's a massive SNAP fraud scandal that just broke. We'll give you the latest on that in just a moment. Plus, Mel Kay will join us. I got questions for her about AI, President Trump signing an executive order to prevent and tie up states from being able to regulate AI. Specifically, she'll go into detail about that and how gives the federal government all the power. A lot of people are throwing up red flags here, so we'll discuss that in a bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched the Ultimate Power Powder. You're looking to increase your energy, your focus, blood flow, or endurance. This is the formula for you over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you buy three bottles, you get 30% off. The more you buy, the more you save, of course. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, we're back. Welcome to the third hour of the show. We got a lot more to discuss, a lot more to dive into. As many of you guys know, we were discussing at the open of the program in regard to that Brown University shooter. Now, according to officials, he is also the man behind the MIT professor, that nuclear scientist being murdered. And so we're learning more and more about this individual. Now, again, we haven't seen any surveillance footage from inside Brown University still. We play the clips for you, Brown University presidents being very dismissive about it, saying that the lack of security footage, by lack, it's playing nice. There's absolutely nothing that they've released. They don't really see it as like a significant issue, even though this is a foreign-born individual. And according to the Patriot Act, if you're not a U.S. citizen to come in and out of this country, we would have to take your biometrics. So this person's biometrics would have been obtained and stored by the federal government. If they had that footage, clear footage, maybe they could have ran his biometrics through the federal database, found out who he was, and it maybe would have had them arrest him a little bit faster rather than days. Again, he wasn't arrested. He actually, the coward he was, blew his brains out. It's according to reports. Again, suicide. It's convenient, isn't it? But now the DHS secretary is coming out and she's also detailing, and she actually was very quick on this one. According to her, that this individual entered the United States through our diversity lottery immigrant visa program. Doesn't really feel like a lottery though. And then he was granted a green card apparently from all of this. Now this is something that President Trump in his first term was fighting and pushing back against, obviously, after there was an ISIS terrorist in the New York truck ramming incident that took place, that also ended up getting in from the DV-1 program. He murdered 8 people. Now, again, she is advising our U.S. immigration services to pause DV-1 program to ensure that no more Americans are harmed by this, obviously, disastrous program. Joining me to discuss all of this, plus more, is Drew Hernandez. He's the host of the Drew Hernandez Live Show. He's an investigative reporter, commentator as well. You can find him on X, Drew H Live. Drew, I want to thank you for being here. This is a lot to dive into, obviously. And I'm not really buying, and we could go over this in just a bit, the narrative that they're putting out there, the local police are putting out there. But first, I want to get your take on this. You know, the DHS secretary jumped on this really, really quickly, saying that this individual got into our country through that lottery immigration program, which is not a lottery at all, considering the type of scumbags that's brought into the United States. But now she's putting a pause on that, which I'm sure the left will push back on. Your reaction to just what DHS Secretary Kristi Noem has done thus far after learning this news?
Yeah, well, good morning. Thanks for having me, Brianna. I just think the entire fiasco, I think MAGA's kind of split on it, mm-hmm. as they're split on a lot of things. Immediately, you had a lot of people coming out on X and saying, well, obviously, this is a fiasco. The DEI police chief, the guy can't even speak English. He's all over the place. He can't get his story straight. Even last night, I was listening to the press conference when they were announcing that they caught him. They got him. And it's like always, it ends in a suicide. So there could be no interrogation, no real questioning going on. How convenient. But it was interesting because in the press conference last night, not sure if you listened to it, but this DEI police chief, whoever this guy is that can't even speak English, was attempting to communicate that this was the person of interest from the very beginning. It was released and it led to the ultimate capture and the way things ended last night. But I found that to be very contradicting because they had another person of interest. And it was the wrong person. And even Kash Patel came out as always, and tries to take credit for everything. It's just interesting how some of these MAGA cheerleaders on X don't know what to do. They're all over the place. Anytime something appears to be good happening, Kash Patel will run in if the FBI is involved, take credit for it. But then it's a massive mistake. It's the wrong guy. And then it just becomes a fiasco or a circus. But then the guy gets, you know, caught and it's a suicide. And then it's credit to the good work of the FBI and it's credit to the good work of the feds that actually stepped in and got down to the bottom of it, because the DEI, the university leadership, was obviously engaging in some kind. This is my opinion. It appears to be some kind of cover up. So the trust is all over the place. I think the trust has been shot for a very long time. And just contradiction after contradiction, inconsistencies, really doesn't help build any trust between the American people and any law enforcement or institution. And that just seems to keep happening. And it's a 48-year-old Howard University student. The guy apparently attended Howard University in the early 2000s and just somehow made a comeback. But here's what's also interesting, Brianna, is we did have Israeli media that was attempting to claim that the shooter of the MIT professor was the same shooter or directly connected. And we're hearing that from the feds as well, that that is a possible connection, and even local law enforcement, that it's the same shooter, MIT, Brown University. But Israeli media was attempting to say that it was an Iranian hit. These were Israeli officials. And so, you know, I pay attention to the reaction of things as well. And I've learned this from Alex Jones too, is, you know, you just kind of see things unfold and pay attention to the reaction of governments, world leaders, officials, and see if they can get their story straight. Are there any contradictions? Are there any inconsistencies? Is there any big push for some kind of crackdown or policy that goes against the free rights of human beings or Americans? And it's just interesting how there always seems to be some kind of injection by Israel or the Zionist that this is Iran yet again, just like they did after Butler, Pennsylvania, and J-13. So, you know, it's just those types of things that cause you to sit back and ask questions, but you're not allowed to do that because, you know, that's just bad these days.
Yeah, and Drew, I remember seeing the report too that Israel was actually investigating whether Iran played a role in this or not. That popped up early this morning, and I was just kind of like, well, why would Israel be leading an investigation? It just seemed really strange. Again, I want to kind of learn more about the professor and all of this, the MIT professor. And there was like a pro-Palestinian angle to this at the very beginning phases of the investigation, something that the college was quickly scrubbing from their website. You know, we reached out for comment actually to understand why they were scrubbing individuals who were named, but according to the school, had no affiliation at all with the murder that took place. And they didn't give us really a detailed response in regards to that. They kind of danced around the issue. But right. You also mentioned something that I think is really important. You know, at the beginning of the presser, we sat there and watched all these federal agents and local PD, I guess the one federal agency and local PD, all give themselves pats on the back. They always do this nowadays. They say, oh, we did an incredible job, like they did for the J6 pipe bomber too. We did an incredible job at investigating this. But the reality is, from my understanding, is the MIT professor was killed after the Brown University shooting. And maybe if Brown had the surveillance on its campus that would have captured the images, they would have somehow caught this person before they went out there and killed another person. So I don't know why they're saying that after days of investigating this, that this is somehow a great investigation. I mean, there were so many missteps. In fact, local PD blaming the FBI for that first person that was captured, that wasn't a suspect at all. And then we saw President Trump tweeting, or Truth Social posts, saying that they captured the suspect. He was under arrest. And then quickly had to revise that. That sounded like to me, yet again, that the FBI director probably told him that this person was captured, even though that wasn't truthful. And the only reason why I'm assuming it's the FBI director is because, well, he's done this time and time again. He was very excited to announce the capture of two individuals and a minor who were apparently plotting a ISIS-inspired terror attack just a couple of weeks ago. He jumped the gun on that one before four of the other suspects were even arrested and before the criminal complaint was even filed. He posted about that because he was under obviously attack for a very controversial move to use the jet for his personal leisure. So it kind of feel like he was deflecting there. He's done this multiple times. So even the Charlie Kirk assassination, he said that there was a suspect that was arrested that wasn't actually a suspect at all. So he jumps the gun on a lot of this. And so, you know, you just highlighted it, and I guess I could kind of let you kind of carry it away from here, though. But you highlighted how, again, he jumped on board with this and took it as if this was one of their accomplishments for the agency to capture this individual. But again, you know, their spokesperson, Ben Williamson, who's a great individual, and nothing against him, but he, the day before, put out a statement saying that the FBI is not leading in this investigation, that they're just kind of playing an assistant role in all of this. But now all of a sudden they're claiming victory here as if they really were the ones to help out majorly in all of this. I mean, what's your thoughts about how the FBI's handled all of these scandals over these last few weeks?
I think maybe Kash Patel should stop going on Boss Girl podcast with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
One would say. Maybe he should stop wasting his time on a bunch of BS, giggling and smiling on these stupid podcasts that are meaningless. Nobody cares, dude. Nobody cares. Literally nobody cares out here about your relationship. You know, good for you. No hate against them.
Yeah.
But the American people did not vote for a new FBI director, you know, via the president making appointments, right? The American people did not vote for, you know, a new administration that had a new FBI director that was busy going on Boss Girl podcasts, giggling with his girlfriend with a Valley Girl accent like he's from California or something. Yeah. I'm from California, so I can identify this immediately. Maybe he should stop wasting his time. Maybe. I don't think it's a good sign Dan Bongino's leaving the FBI as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I know you've been attempting, just like everybody else, to get some info as to, you know, pinning down the reasons exactly why. Could be some, you know, potential health issues, family issues, wanting to get back to family. Or maybe he sees how compromised everything is. I mean, obviously, you know, Dan Bongino as well had some major, major, major blowouts attempting to tell the world that Epstein killed himself. Trust me, bro. I've seen the tape that was left behind for you to see. Yeah. I just think that's not really a good sign. I think if Bongino's tapping out, you got to ask yourself why. What the hell is going on at that FBI? You know, they could all try and show face and be cordial, which is fine, and try to make it look like it's all being held together when it's obviously not. The American people are not stupid. And that's where this administration is making a major misstep. Major misstep. The gaslighting, treating people like they're stupid, treating people like they're not seeing what they're seeing, they're not hearing what they're hearing, these massive mistakes. And it's like we're returning back to the Bush era of the GOP Republican politics, you know, early 2000s, decades before. And this administration has engaged in that, and it's pissing people off. It's really pissing people off, especially a lot of people that have been OG MAGA from the beginning, because a lot of people were expecting a lot more accountability and a better performance. But back to Kash Patel, you know, Dan Bongino leaving the FBI, I just wonder, like, are we in a golden age or are we not? Like, wouldn't it be better for Dan Bongino to remain in the FBI, to continue to crack down on the deep state and go after the Adam Schiffs and the Hillary Clintons and all of these deep state villainous satanic operatives of the world? I would say I would rather have Dan Bongino in a capacity like that as well. I think that him leaving the FBI is kind of telling, to be completely honest with you. But back to Kash Patel, again, I think he should stop wasting his time. Stop wasting my time, Kash. Stop wasting my money. Okay, you work for me. Kash Patel works for me. He works for you. He works for the American people. Don't ever forget that. I don't care who you are and how high you think you are on your high horse. You work for me. You work for the American people. And the moment you turn on that, and the moment you start to pull the mask off and people start to see that you think it's the opposite, the moment we begin to realize very quickly just exactly who you really are. And I think a lot of people, the American people, especially in MAGA, are starting to see that. And these mistakes, these are, you know, are these intentional mistakes? Is he incompetent? Is this being done on purpose? I mean, the Charlie Kirk thing is just a clear example of that, right? I mean, and see, but that's the thing, Brianna, is like we get gaslit. I know you probably get a lot of this too, is like, okay, well, you're allowed to believe Tyler Robinson is the one that murdered Charlie Kirk, the only one. You can't look outside of anything. You can't look outside of that nowhere else. It's just him. That's what you can believe. That's what you can declare. He is guilty. There's no innocence. But if you go outside of that, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You go outside of that, you're a conspiracy theorist. You go outside of that, you're schizophrenic. You go outside of that, well, you're not rational. But it's interesting because when you get to the Howard University situation, oh, now all of a sudden we're allowed to not believe the official narrative. Why? Because of inconsistencies, whether it's incompetence or whether it's intentional. Obviously, something is wrong here. So it's just interesting how there's this back and forth. There's this back and forth where you have to believe the official narrative on one thing, But when it comes to the other situation, okay, we can ask some questions. And that's what's pissing people too off, because you have a lot of MAGA cheerleaders out here all over social media. I don't know what their interest is. Maybe they're afraid of losing access to the White House or Mar-a-Lago, which is pathetic, that are unwilling to be consistent on these things. And the American people at home, they're just kind of sitting back watching this, and they're just shaking their heads and saying, I didn't vote for this. I didn't vote for this at all. I voted for a serious crackdown and serious accountability into the future. And they've had about a year, and I don't think we're anywhere near where we need to be.
Yeah, and Drew, just to kind of, you know, piggyback on what you just said, the attacks that are taking place, though. Okay, so let's talk about like how if you don't go with the narrative, the pro-Trump narrative right now, you get attacked. I mean, I will put out stories that I know are factually true because they're heavily sourced with those who are close to the sources itself. And then I get attacked on social media quite often. Cat Turd obviously publicly coming after me when he didn't like one of my reports, which is just funny given the fact that his Twitter name is Cat Turd, I know. But these people are very aggressive at going after you if you just anything. You know, I also called in the other day to Harrison Smith's show here on InfoWars, and I've got a lot of connections with the FBI and those closely sourced with Dan Bongino. And I gave a report, and their unofficial spokeswoman, Julie Kelly, actually came after us yesterday for my report, which clearly cites personal issues, right? Because he wasn't supposed to leave the agency this quickly. Obviously, this is very abrupt. And so one's wondering, well, why? And I've been very respectful and just critical of the FBI as a whole. So we give a whole update as to what my sources are telling me. Again, people very close to the situation, as close as one could possibly get. And I believe she called me and Harrison Smith bottom dwellers on X. Now, I joked and won't directly respond to her because she's just a frustrated. Well, I mean, I did. I called her first name and last name out. But I just think these are the kind of people who will go after you and target you if you speak out. If you go against the narrative and they don't like it, maybe you piss off some people at these agencies, they will go and pounce on you so quickly.
Brianna, was this a spokesperson for the FBI or just some MAGA cheerleader on
social Julie
media.
Kelly is supposed to be a journalist. She is close friends. Here's the comment here. She's close friends with Dan, and I know just that. And I've actually had her on my show before. She has my number. If she had a problem with anything that was said during this discussion, she's got my number. She could call. She has chosen not to do so. She also wasn't very happy with me back in the day when she put out a report saying that the raid at Mar-a-Lago was going to be like an execution almost for President Trump. I think I'm probably misquoting her there, but it was very dramatically written, her article on it. And I just publicly, without even going after her, posted the documents to prove that this wasn't exactly what was going on behind the scenes, because I had sources within law enforcement handed the document over to me so we could see it raw and see that it wasn't the case. It's also cited several times in court documents that they had communicated with Secret Service as well, between Secret Service and the FBI. They had communicated prior to the raid at Mar-a-Lago. So again, I didn't back that raid, obviously. That was an awful thing that happened in the first place, and he should be sued, or he should sue them and get all the money that he can from it. But it was just being misrepresented. Long story short, we had drinks planned and she canceled and decided to just go bash us online publicly rather than just have a face-to-face conversation. So this is just someone who, again, who will go after you publicly if she has a problem with you. I prefer to do things privately, though. People have my number. You could reach out and talk to people. But these are people, Drew, who... Just again, it's not just Julie, it's other people out there. If you question the narrative, they pounce on you. The left doesn't do this, though, Drew, right? If you put out a story and you're a member of the left, they won't pounce on you. They just let it all fly. They don't turn on each other. Whether they do it behind the scenes or not, that's fine. But publicly, they don't go after you. Why do you think that, though, as conservatives, as those who supported the president originally, whenever we offer an ounce of criticism, we're immediately pounced on?
I think it's pretty obvious. Within MAGA, within the right wing, the past 10 years, and Trump has been really used to this because we've been on this ride with him for nearly a decade now, where he's constantly attacked, he's constantly slandered, anything connected to him, whether it's his business or his administration or his family, he's constantly under fire, right? Yeah. And we've always been there to support the president because every time there's this type of assault, right? Russiagate, the Ukraine phone call, the impeachment hoaxes, all of that. The indictments, the witch hunts, the lawfare, all of it. MAGA has always stood by President Trump's side, as they should be when there's something like that happening, because he resembled that freedom, that voice. That's what the silent majority term meant from the very beginning, 10 years ago. He was that voice. He was that... the pinnacle of where America really wanted to go and what America really wanted to say. So when that was attacked, like Trump has always said, they're not going after me, they're going after you, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like, they got to get through me to get to you type of thing. And we saw that post January 6th, hunting down the J6ers. So it's been this way for nearly a decade. And I think Trump has been so used to, and the administration or anybody connected to him, and even MAGA is so used to this, is just constantly defending Trump when he obviously needs it and it's appropriate. But when there's some serious issues going on and there's some legitimate criticism because we want change, not because we hate Trump or because we want to throw him, you know, overboard, but because we want to hold him accountable. It just seems like you can't do that right now. It seems like you can't do that anymore, which doesn't make sense to me because I threw the MAGA hat on in 2015 and, you know, fell in love with what Trump was saying and where he wanted to take things. And one of the things that I mainly fell in love with was how it was the era of accountability now. We're going to hold people accountable. And Trump included himself in that conversation. But now you have all these shills and you have these people at the White House and you have all these people in these press corps and you have all these, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Brianna. You have these people that are just unwilling to legitimately criticize this administration, this president, when it's necessary, because we want what we voted for. We want accountability. There's nothing wrong with that. That's American. But you get gaslit. You get called a panican. You get called a traitor. You're not truly MAGA. So I think a lot of these people are so used to, that's their default, to just be loyal to President Trump and defend him no matter what, even if it's not rational and it doesn't make sense and they're hypocritical, even if it's just a legitimate criticism. That's backfiring on them because it's creating this kind of new elitist mentality. Like that tweet right there that you guys put up, that woman that responded to you.
Yeah.
What did she say? A bottom feeder?
Yeah, she called us bottom feeders or bottom dwellers.
Yeah, you're just a peasant. You're a peasant, Brianna. Yeah. You're a peasant. Anybody asking questions, you're a peasant. Okay, we're in our high tower and you're just a bottom dweller. That's what you are for asking questions. And it's like, okay, here we are back to square one. 10 years ago, where, you know, obviously we were the bottom dwellers. We were the basket of deplorables. We were the ones, you know, that's Hillary Clinton mentality. Mm-hmm. But the mentality is the uniparty. It's just simply, we're the elites. You're the peasants. Stop asking questions and just fall in line. And that's not going to fly. It's really not going to fly. And I think this is kind of indicating the close of the MAGA era. Trump's going to be done in 3 years. And like I told Alex Jones a couple weeks ago on his show is, you know, I don't think this is necessarily about throwing Trump overboard or, you know, doing away with Trump. He's going to be in for the next 3 years. I pray he does the best he possibly can for the sake and the good of this country. But it really is time to move on. It really is. I think it's time to move on. It's time to re-strategize. It's time to mobilize because a lot of young people, you know, maybe the boomers don't understand this, because that generation is going to be up in maybe 15, 20 years max. But you and I, Brianna, by God's grace, if he gives us this time in life and Christ doesn't return, we're going to be here for like the next 50 years. Trump is not. So it really is time. And that's not disrespect. That's just being real. I'm a realist, dude. So yeah. I think that's where we're at. You know, I think instead of just wasting time, I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm just saying like collectively, as we think this thing through, instead of just constantly, you know, having to make Trump look good and make sure the administration doesn't look bad. It's like call balls and strikes. This is how it should be. But I think we really got to start thinking about what this looks like for the future for the next 20 years, 50 years.
We really do. Drew Hernandez, thank you for joining me today. Of course, we appreciate you jumping on the show. Give him a follow on X. Drew H Live right now. Head over there and do just that. All right, guys. Mel K's up next. Don't go anywhere. Thanks to Drew for joining me. Mel's going to dive into the AI issues. There's a lot more to discuss in just a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here. Of course, a lot going on all around the world. We're catching you up on. I wanted to kind of bring it back to this insane video that we talked about earlier in Taiwan. Multiple people injured. Looks like the number has gone up. Three people have been killed, including the individual, the attacker, who decided to begin just stabbing people randomly in Taiwan. Now, this is strange given the fact that it's Taiwan. And we have the actual video of this person pulling the knife out of his bag and then running up to a crowd of people, as you see here in this footage. And he just starts stabbing them. Sadly, two people were killed. The third is obviously this individual. He fell off a roof, it looks like. He made his way into the metro and continued to stab people. Nine people in total have been wounded. We don't know motive yet. His name is, he's 27-year-old Chen Wen. He apparently also threw a smoke grenade nearby under an underground exit. Now, again, we don't know motive. This is in Taiwan, so that's what's just so strange. Local hospitals reported these three deaths, of course, and these nine people who have been injured. We are still waiting for more information as it trickles out, but the footage is just completely, completely disturbing. And so we'll keep bringing those updates as it continues. As we opened up the show earlier today with, we detailed specifically how the Brown University and the MIT shooter were all connected. Now, we had Drew Hernandez on just a few moments ago, and he did also discuss how Israel is claiming that there might actually be an Iranian tie to all of this. Again, the individual was a Portuguese national. He was in our country due to the lottery system, but there apparently is some type of concern where Israel is stepping in now and is looking to investigate this to see if this was something regarding the Iranian government. So we'll keep you updated on that as we learn more, of course. But I want to switch things up a little bit to the AI threat. As you guys know, President Trump has made it one of the main purposes of his administration to kind of focus on AI. He wants us to be the number one leaders in AI. I don't know about that one, but this is what he's saying. He wants us to be able to be the leaders in AI. Well, the president signed an executive order this week, and it's kind of concerning when you look at it. It limits the state regulations of AI, and it would possibly allow just the federal overrule those regulations is kind of what his EO is going with these days. The governor in Wisconsin, Tony Evers, is warning about this, saying that this would make kids and families in Wisconsin less safe. Joining me to discuss all of this is Mel Kay. She's the host of the Mel Kay Show. She's also the author of Americans Anonymous as well, which is available right now on Amazon. It gives you the power to take back your government. And she's outlined that for you in Americans Anonymous, which is available right now on Amazon. Mel Kay joins us now. Mel, thank you for being here. When it comes to AI and this technology movement that's going on right now, I know that you're the one who's been screaming about this for a while, but it looks like President Trump, he's committed to making this a top issue for his administration. He wants to be able to lead the way in this AI battle. What do you make about this EO that he just signed, this executive order where he is trying to take away the regulations from the state and make it more of a federal regulated industry?
Well, also, you know, he's proposed a tech force also in conjunction with all of the tech companies of which he met with not too long ago. Mm-hmm. All of this is very disturbing for somebody like me who's been covering the technocratic global governance model that has been pushed on us by the globalists for decades. And this is actually, to me, exactly that same direction. And I'm sorry to say this because people want to believe the best, but there is a global public infrastructure that is already built. It went on steroids to finish it during the first term of the auto pen, and it is almost completely done, and it is interoperable, which means the whole world is on this same global public infrastructure. And who are the partners? All of the partners that Donald Trump is listing as his partners in taking over tech on the world stage. So the disturbing part here is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights essentially have been basically debatable since the Unconstitutional Patriot Act. But this is a whole new level of that. And this is not being voted on by the people. And the people have no say in this. They don't get to decide. And again, is efficiency and technocracy the route that America wants to take? That is the closest route to totalitarian track and trace surveillance agenda 2030. And yet what we're seeing now is people are lining up to get their eyes scanned. They're giving their handprints. I hear that soon you're going to be charged if you don't have a real ID. All of this is unconstitutional. I don't understand where the Constitution fits in. And as I believe it was Thomas Jefferson, oh no, maybe it was Madison, that said those that would give up liberty for security deserve neither. And at this point, the United States of America, maybe we're getting kind of back our physical border, but where is the border in cyberspace at this point? And again, I've talked a lot about the model of stakeholder capitalism, global public-private partnership, all of that. Well, they're all partners of the World Economic Forum, which is right now being run, unfortunately, by Larry Fink, who is also the head of BlackRock that is investing trillions of dollars in U.S. taxpayer money through all the pension funds that he runs through BlackRock into Agenda 2030 in real time. And then Trump pulls him out to join the negotiating in Ukraine. I really don't know what's going on. And then we have the Susie Wiles article that is just a disaster, and they're all acting like it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. So we are being sabotaged, and the American people have no say about anything. And as long as they allow these NGOs that are between the people and the government running our country, subverting the will of the people, and we're talking about tech lobbyists, we're talking about insurance lobbyists, we're talking about foreign government lobbyists, military industrial lobbyists, all of these NGOs that connect to them. The American people have no say. Why aren't the American people being asked if we want to have a full technocratic track and trace surveillance? They want to train a tech force to make the entire government run on AI and algorithms. Well, if you've ever listened to Noah Harari or anyone else that has talked about this openly on stage at the UN or the World Economic Forum or at the COP conferences, we're walking right into that, and I don't hear anything or anyone talking about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, let alone Donald Trump was abused for 4 years, really 8 years, but 4 years of lawfare. So what happens when all of this technology gets into the hands of the Democrat Socialist of America? You know, and they don't want two parties. They shouldn't even be allowed to be running for any offices at all because they are technically funded by globalist labor organizations that are against freedom. They're essentially global socialists. But here we have AOC is leading, apparently, for 2028. Democrat Socialist of America, Mamdani, Democrat Socialist of America. So when he transfers all this stuff through J.D. Vance or, God forbid, AOC, and they have this kind of power, what then? What does America look like then? Where's the Constitution or Bill of Rights? He didn't have a Fourth Amendment right. None of us did while Obama was spying on us, then while Hillary Clinton started the whole spy campaign, then when Obama picked it up, then the last 4 years. I mean, America is not a free country right now, and all they're doing is handing over the tools to be less free. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Mel, it's frustrating to sit back and watch because, you know, I say all the time, I feel like at best, all we're doing is we're hitting the pause button on this takeover. But it's much worse than that at this point. It's very obvious that they just don't even care. They don't even, understand the issue. I mean, that's just kind of me playing nice right now and saying that this is due to ignorance because, like you just mentioned, too, Fourth Amendment rights being violated. You know, we talked about it last time you were on the show. FISA's up for a potential renewal soon. We're waiting to see those conversations begin. You want to add to that?
Yeah, where is Rosemary Collier's report on Barack Obama spying on this whole country? You know, Snowden is in hiding somewhere or is in Russia. We got Assange. They tortured him for 13 years. The truth is, America has lost our freedom. We are completely captured. And now, because they want to be the first in the space race or AI, as if they're not 20 years ahead. I mean, this is the big lie of all of tech, is that everything that DARPA, InQtel created, which is basically the internet and all the social media platforms, are still fully infiltrated. They haven't ended the sharing with the Five Eyes nations. Barack Obama and Eric Holder spied on 3 million American citizens that were ideologically unaligned with them. Nobody's ever put out the Collier report. That's a 99-page report on the spying by the Obama administration that was, of course, restarted as soon as Donald Trump won into all of us. The last 4 years, there were 10,000 basically illegal searches into innocent American citizens. The warrantless surveillance 702 has ended any kind of Fourth Amendment or probable cause. I mean, and you know what? They're not thinking long term in terms of, does the United States of America want to be controlled by algorithms and AI and have no freedom and no say and nobody to address your grievances to. I mean, we're already being, all these January 6 people got put in jail for just showing up at the Capitol. What's going to happen when you have nobody to even talk to and they come and get you? So I think it's very dangerous. They're allowing the Democrat Socialist of America to take over the Democratic Party. And then at the same time, they're also not stopping the illegal situation that is going on with all of the I believe the violations of our rights, from scanning your eyes and saying they're not keeping them, they're keeping them, scanning your hands, getting every aspect of public service and Social Security and everything onto an AI algorithm system. to put in whose hands? Mm-hmm. And why haven't the American people had its say in this? Because I don't think if the American people fully understood global governance and how this works and that all of this tech is interoperable and we are sharing it with the EU that is full on totalitarian and going into the Fourth Reich. I mean, we are sharing all of our intelligence with the Five Eyes nations that overthrew this country with Barack Obama in 2016. Nobody's been held accountable, and I don't see that happening. And then Susie Wiles goes and does this Vanity Fair article. I've never been so infuriated. And then they all defend her like she's the greatest ever. She just gave them all the lawfare people an out. They are going to destroy us if we don't get our crap together. But I am telling you right now, that Vanity Fair article is disgusting. She exonerated Bill Clinton, and I have talked to victims from 2008 forward. Virginia Gouffre and I were back and forth. Her book, Bill Clinton needs to be held accountable, and Susie Wiles says there's no evidence of him going to Epstein Island. There's 27 trips. He went to Morocco. He went to Africa. All these places with Jeffrey Epstein. He was at the White House dozens of times, and this Susie Wiles does an interview where she says Trump's on a retribution tour. This isn't about Trump. This is about the overthrow of the duly elected president that the United States of America, the people, elected in 2016, and a color revolution by those same people that is still going on. And then this woman goes, does 11 interviews with a hostile Vanity Fair after what happened with Wolf during the first term with Bannon, and then she exonerates Bill Clinton. I mean, I don't understand what is going on, but I know that all of us that sacrificed our lives and our careers and everything else to help, I thought, get some justice, and now we're being undermined at every turn. And Dan Bongino leaving, well, I hope he comes and tells us what's really going on. But anyone that's acting like that Susie Wiles Vanity Fair article isn't devastating to the cause that we fought for in justice and in Epstein is out of their minds. And to see every single one of those people in that inner circle, including Donald Trump, step up and say that this woman's the best thing that ever happened to America. Oh, my God. Well, let's talk to some of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein that have been in the room with and on the plane with Bill Clinton. I mean, she literally said that there was no evidence against Bill Clinton going to the island. That's a total lie. Even the Secret Service went with him. So, I mean, I just don't understand what's going on. And then she says, you know, this is retribution. The crimes weren't against Donald Trump. They were against the people of the United States of America. They were against the voters. The voters have no voice and no vote and haven't in decades. And now we thought maybe we would take back the country, and they're going in the opposite direction. And it's really disturbing.
Well, Mel, let's like hover over the Vanity Fair interview for a second, because she didn't give just one interview. They gave 11 interviews. And that's just mind blowing to me, given the fact that we know that these publications
recorded.
Hate our gut. Well, that's the other
recorded.
Point. So she's over here recorded. Saying, oh, they misrepresented what I said. OK, well, obviously it's recorded. So likely, because you're trying to discredit this reporter and how they represent the interview you gave, we'll likely get some type of audio recording soon. I truly do hope so, because I'd really like to hear both sides of all of this. Because when you sit back and you read the quotes that were given, I mean, I'm scratching my head wondering what the heck what are you doing? Because again, when you talked about all the key people who are being brought into the White House consistently, the big tech companies, obviously the people that funded, you know, Zuckerbucks and all of these people who were against us, we're all wondering what the heck is going on here. And then we hear, oh, the gatekeeper is Susie Wiles. Now, listen, I've never met the woman, so I don't know who she is personally, but I could tell you, according to people I've spoken to, she was pushed out of Governor Ron DeSantis' team for a reason. And then she made her way into the Trump administration, as you see now. But you're wondering what the heck's happening here. Everyone says she's the gatekeeper. This is her thing. The 11 interviews doesn't really seem to be like an accident. It seems like you probably gave them a couple of bits intentionally at this point. Even called J.D. Vance, who laughed it off and said, yeah, I am a conspiracy theorist.
I mean,
but it's not okay.
Disgusting. But listen, okay, they did this the first term. Bannon allowed Jeffrey Wolf into the White House for a year. And then he wrote two books and hit pieces. So they do it again with Vanity Fair that we know is 1,000% against Trump. But worse than that is people had to have allowed this. And again, all they are doing is putting the focus on maybe Ron DeSantis is a better call. I mean, I know people don't want to hear that. But the bottom line at this point is there is full betrayal in the people, at least. You know, I'm very suppressed, censored, banned for life from YouTube. So I'm not a big fish. But I will tell you, my audience is furious about this article. Mm-hmm. And they are acting like it's a joke. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. She exonerated Bill Clinton in the article, she said that Donald Trump is wrong, that there's no evidence. I know, I spoke to many people since 2008. Go look at like the work of Whitney Webb or Jason Burmess or any of these people that have been out there. I mean, what a betrayal to Virginia Giuffre. Who is this woman? And what is she doing? It just feels like we're being sabotaged. And at the end of the day, like I said, Americans Anonymous is out there to give people power because the only people you have is in your backyard. And frankly, any idea that they can salvage the FBI after what has gone on since Holder and Obama went in there to totally infiltrate every agency is a joke. Okay. I cannot understand the level of betrayal, and that apparently all of the people at the White House that surround him, including the press secretary, don't seem to understand that people put their lives on the line. People went to jail for years for sticking up for Donald Trump, for not turning on him. I was just with another January 6er, Robert Morris. They basically told him, if you say that it's Donald Trump's fault, we'll let you off. And all these people wouldn't. And they went to jail and they had their lives destroyed. They haven't had their lives made right. And frankly, you know, I'm glad that Donald Trump got $24 million from YouTube, but where's my payout from being banned because of questioning the election? And then they say that they have all this election fraud evidence, yet what we're still seeing is that Jack Smith is saying yesterday that he wants to go in the public and show all the evidence that Donald Trump tried to throw over the 2020 election. He walks in and he walks out like he owns the world. Meanwhile, Peter Navarro doesn't go into the fake January 6th committee and gets shackled in the middle of an airport and thrown in jail for 4 months. I mean, where are the raids of the Open Society, of Brookings, of Act Blue, of where are the white collar crimes that are the easiest to prosecute being prosecuted? And all they're going after is the grand conspiracy after Donald Trump and the Mar-a-Lago raid. What about the grand conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America by 51 intelligence agents before the 2020 election? That should be a crime. Hello? This is a global conspiracy to overthrow the duly elected president of the United States of America in 2016 that was participated in by the UK, by definitely Australia, UK, CIA, in all these places, Brennan, Clapper, all of them. And Jack Smith strolls in there, acts like he's still going to prove on the world stage that Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government because he wouldn't accept the results of the 2020 election. Yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard told us almost a year ago that they have overwhelming evidence about the 2020 election being stolen. We know everything about the 51 agents. All these people that were persecuted on January 6th for January 6th and the Fed's erection are waiting for the evidence that they were right. I just do not understand what is happening. And every time that, you know, he was going to do his big speech the other night about his wins, well, to the people that suffered along with him the last 8 years, we don't see the wins because we're not seeing them that have anything to do with us. I'm glad that they want to make the economy great again. But you know what? All they're doing is waiting out Donald Trump. And then what's going to happen? Nothing's been changed about the elections, okay? Because they're not putting any of this out. They're not pursuing this. And so, you know, what's going to happen in 2026 when Mark Elias and everyone still are pushing, and Norm Eisen, again, the leader of all of this, is out there gloating about Susie Wiles' interview and how they won't be able to prosecute anyone now because of the things she said about retribution. And Donald Trump says she's the most powerful woman in the world. So, I mean, it's just a total shit show. But all I can say is, again, we the people of the United States have power where we live. And if people don't start getting involved and getting out of their comfort zone and running for office and taking over and starting to try to ban the Democrat Socialists of America from running anywhere in this country at all, just like the communists are banned from running in America, and we start as citizens and patriots taking over our city councils, our school boards, our land management, all the things that the DSA and the Red Green Access are trying to take over, if we don't fight locally where we are, D.C. is not fighting for us. They are fighting to put us on the global public infrastructure and to create wealth, which is great, but wealth with criminals running the country, which is apparently what's going to happen if we don't see some prosecutions and the 2020 election exposed. Well, you know what? Then America's the last stand for humanity, for freedom and liberty and truth and justice, and it will be over, and it will be because of this. administration, I'm sorry, a year in and nobody has been held accountable that could in any way, shape or form protect our elections, get retribution. They're saying, no, it's not retribution. It is justice. And it is justice for the people, not for Donald Trump. I mean, at this point, for God's sakes, the country is completely captured. And they're doing nothing to stop it except for saying your money's, you're going to make more money and you're going to, well, where's freedom and liberty and justice and truth and transparency? Because until that 2020 election, if they have all this evidence, is dealt with, there is none.
Yeah. Well, Mel, I'm consistently.
I'm sorry, I'm very upset this morning.
No, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be upset this morning. Because Mel, I'm consistently asking questions behind the scenes to see what's going on, to get some type of insight. Because I didn't want to jump off this like negative black pill bridge and just tell everyone, you know, nothing's happening behind the scenes and we're all being lied to and we're all being dragged on right now. But the reality is every time I ask this question, I say, you know, there's no big arrests. And I know a lot of people are pissed off because every day I tweet out about how there's been no arrests from the Obama-Biden regime as of yet. And I always put the date every single day. And that gets a lot of people in D.C. angry because I'm told, oh, it's a process. We have to wait for the process. It's a process. But the reality of it is, and we saw it firsthand, there was no process when the Biden regime was in power. They quickly, within a matter of days, had hundreds of conservatives arrested for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. And they've tried to demonize these people, ruin their lives. And we saw it firsthand. And this is like, this was it for me. When I watched these court filings, when the Proud Boys filed their lawsuit against the DOJ for violating their constitutional rights in Pam Bondi's office, which I reached out for comment on. They didn't want to comment on it, of course. Pam Bondi's office wrote that they wanted this lawsuit, this $100 million lawsuit, dismissed because they believe that DOJ has sovereign immunity for any type of constitutional claim. And then you see them dropping information right now over with John Solomon, with Fox News, about all the egregious unconstitutional
things. Give me a break.
It's like... But then they tell you that they can't say anything because it's an ongoing investigation. So you're telling me the information that's being leaked from the top of the FBI to these outlets is probably what then it's not being used for a current investigation. I mean, give me a break. I'm not going to sit here and gaslight our people and our audience into thinking that something's happening behind the scenes. But Mel, I'll give you the final minute to sign off on this one. I mean, it's just so frustrating. And then they go after you if you decide to talk against the Trump administration.
I know. And I'm done. I don't care anymore. And you know what? I'm so censored. I mean, look at my Twitter, Elon Musk. And I'm banned for life from YouTube. Everyone gets back to the channel. What do I care? All I know is that I spent 4 years fighting my ass off, traveling this country with a lot of these people that are now in that administration. And I know that they have the evidence. And the one thing the American people should unite on is, frankly, from January 1st, 2020, Washington, D.C. was a crime scene. And you know what? Scott Bessent right now runs the is the de facto head of the IRS. Well, how about a DOGE audit of all 435 of those worthless people and the other 100, every senator, every congressperson, everyone in the executive branch from January 1st, 2020 to date should have a full DOGE audit. And let's find out where all this money's gone and why we've been so screwed and who has allowed this. Because I frankly think the entire D.C. is a crime scene and there is no salvaging it. You must save this country in your own backyard. That is the only way forward. Americans Anonymous, I lay it out. I did not think that it would come to this point that I myself would say enough. And you know what? None of these people have fought for me and they know what I've done. And frankly, it's okay. But everyone out there has to be their own hero. Enough
Mel,
is enough.
Thank you so much for your time, girl. We appreciate you as always. Fired up on this beautiful Friday. Have a great rest of your day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Oh, 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 oh.